Hello and welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something that, quite honestly, gives most people a migraine.
I think that's putting it lightly.
Yeah, right. We aren't talking about philosophy or ancient history today. We're talking about the dealership floor, or the app, or, you know, however you actually get a set of keys in your hand these days.
We have a document on the desk today titled The 2026 Driver's Guide to Car Buying. And specifically, we are laser focused on the manifesto inside it, a section with the, well, incredibly heavy title, Car Buying in 2026, What Every Driver Should Know. It is a heavy title. And frankly, it's a necessary one.
See, that's where I want to start. Because usually when I see a guide to car buying, my eyes just, they glaze over. I think, okay, kick the tires, check the oil, negotiate the sticker price.
The old advice. The old advice. We've all heard it 1,000 times. But this guide is specific. It's stamped with a date, 2026. So my question for you right off the bat is why? Why do we need a specific guide for this year? Has it really changed that much since, say, 2020?
Oh, it's night and day. I mean, that's actually the first thing this guide establishes, and it's critical for you, the listener, to understand. If you walk onto a lot today using the playbook from 10 or even 5 years ago, you are going to get eaten alive.
Eaten alive is strong. You're trying to scare me.
No, I'm trying to prepare you. Look, this guide isn't just a list of the best sedans. It's a total recalibration of how the market works right now. Think about the last few years.
The chaos.
We went from zero inventory where you were paying over sticker just to get a car to a weird correction period. And now in 2026, we are in a completely new phase. The guide highlights that the rules are dictated by macroeconomics, technology, inventory flow. Those things aren't static.
So the advice has an expiration date. Exactly. Think of it this way. If you're baking bread, a cookbook from 1950 is still useful. Flour is flour.
Right.
Yeast is yeast. But buying a car is more like the stock market. If you use a strategy from 1990 to invest in 2026, you are going to lose money. That 2026 stamp on this guide is a warning label. It's saying, whatever you thought you knew, check the date. The terrain has shifted.
Okay, let's drill into that terrain a bit, because the guide has this section, What Every Driver Should Know. It feels very, very urgent. When we analyze the timeline here, what is it about 2026 that makes it so distinct? Why now?
It's what I'd call stabilized complexity. The guide implies that we've moved past the, you know, the absolute chaos of the supply chain crisis, but we haven't gone back to the good old days of simple haggling.
So this is the new normal.
This is the new normal. A normal where the consumer has more data than ever. You can see every price in the country on your phone, but the product itself is infinitely more complex.
The cars themselves, you mean?
Yes. You aren't just buying a mechanical box with an engine anymore. In 2026, you're buying software on wheels. You're buying subscription capabilities. You're buying battery warranties.
Wow.
The transaction isn't just, here's cash, give me the car. It's, here is a contract for a piece of technology that will update over the air. The guide is signaling that if you don't update your own operating system, your mental model of the transaction, you're operating with a massive blind spot. That's a really interesting way to put it.
Yeah.
It's almost like we're not even buying cars in the traditional sense anymore. We're subscribing to a tech platform.
Which brings me to the other part of the title the source really focuses on. Car buying.
Right.
Not driving.
Yeah.
Buying.
Exactly. It's not car maintenance in 2026 or how to drive in 2026. It focuses entirely on the transaction. Why this obsession with the purchase moment in this text?
Because that is the point of maximum friction.
Mm-hmm.
The guide describes the buying phase as the moment where the asymmetry of information is just, it's at its absolute highest. Think about the dynamic.
The dealer or the online platform you're on, they do this 5 times a day. You do it, what, once every 5 or 6 years?
If I'm lucky, yeah. I try to avoid it as long as I possibly can.
Precisely. You're an amateur entering a professional arena. And the guide, it acknowledges that anxiety. It identifies that the modern buyer is actually paralyzed by choice.
And not just blue versus red paint.
No, not at all. It's about how to buy. Do you lease? Do you subscribe? Do you finance? Do you buy direct from the manufacturer online? Or do you go to a franchise dealer? That's the part that gets me. I feel like 10 years ago, the stress was just, am I getting a good price? Now the stress is, am I even doing the transaction correctly? I never know. Am I supposed to negotiate? Or do I just click add to cart like I'm buying toothpaste? And that hesitation is exactly who this guide targets. The buying in the title is promising to untangle that knot. It separates the selection of the vehicle from the mechanics of the actual deal. The text is essentially saying, here is how you survive the paperwork, the financing, and the negotiation in a year where those things have become incredibly opaque.
So it's a survival guide.
It's a navigational chart. If you use a map from 2015 to navigate a city in 2026, you're going to drive into a river because the bridge is gone. This guide is positioning itself as the current map. It's implying that the whole landscape of the deal has shifted under your feet.
I want to pivot to the subtitle, because I think this is where the source gets a little, well, bold.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little arrogant. What every driver should know.
The mandate.
Right, the mandate. Let's be cynical for a second. Is every doing too much work here? I mean, surely a mechanic buying a heavy-duty truck needs different info than a college student buying a compact EV.
Yeah.
Is this just marketing fluff?
I had the same reaction initially. Every is a dangerous word. It usually means you're generalizing too much.
Yeah.
But as you get into the text, you realize every driver isn't about the specific car you choose. It's about the financial exposure.
Okay, unpack that.
Yeah.
Financial exposure.
The guide argues that every driver, regardless of what they drive, is essentially managing a depreciating asset in an incredibly volatile market. Whether you're buying a luxury SUV or a budget commuter, the fundamental financial forces,
like interest rates,
depreciation curves, insurance costs, they apply to everyone, to every single person.
So it's not about the nuts and bolts. It's about the dollars and cents.
Exactly. And that leads us to the verb should know. That is a kicker. It's not what would be nice to know. It's not fun facts for car lovers. The word should implies an obligation. It feels weighty, like a teacher scolding you.
It frames this as a literacy issue. The guide suggests that in 2026, failing to understand these concepts is, well, it's negligent. It's framing ignorance as a safety risk. Not physical safety. We all know you need to know how the brakes work. But financial safety.
That's a great distinction. Financial safety. Because you can drive perfectly safe, never get in a crash, and still totally wreck your bank account because you signed a bad deal. 100%. The text is saying you are about to sign a contract with tens of thousands of dollars. If you don't know these universal truths, things like negative equity, residual value, the difference between APR and a money factor, you are walking straight into a trap. It aims to democratize the insider knowledge that dealers and financial institutions have held onto for decades.
It's removing the barrier to entry, essentially.
It's leveling the playing field.
Yeah.
When a source says what every driver should know, it's an invitation. It's saying you don't need to be an expert to understand this, but you do need to understand this to be safe. It strips away the jargon anxiety. You don't need to know how a transmission works, but you absolutely need to know how a lease contract works.
So let's look at the audience for this. We talk a lot about the learner. This seems custom built for them.
Mm-hmm.
The learner is someone who is smart, capable, maybe prepping for a big life change, but they don't have time to read a textbook.
It is the bullseye for that persona. The learner wants the aha moments without the fluff. They want to know, what is the one thing I'm missing that's going to cost me money? This guide promises to answer that. It promises efficiency.
Mm.
It tells the learner, we have done the research on the 2026 landscape, so you don't have to. Here is the synthesis.
And I think that's why the structure of this guide matters so much.
Yeah.
It's not a narrative history of the automobile. It's a functional document.
Mm.
It turns a monster, the car market, into a checklist.
Turning a monster into a checklist. I love that imagery. And that is exactly what good source material does. It reduces complexity into action. The fact that this guide even had to be written, titled, and distributed serves as a signal. It tells us the old ways are insufficient.
That's the signal I want to focus on for a minute. The mere existence of this text tells us something about the world right now. If buying a car was easy, this guide wouldn't exist. If the market hadn't changed, we'd still be using the 2010 guide.
Right.
So by holding this document, we are acknowledging we are in a period of change.
Yes. It synthesizes the when 2026 with the who every driver and the what car buying. It bridges the gap between the, you know, the complex reality of the market and the average person who just needs to get to work.
Let's go back to that idea of aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
As we look through this source, were there specific things that really stood out to you as the unknown unknowns, the things people don't even know they don't know?
For me, it's the shift in leverage. The guide highlights that for a long, long time, the dealer held all the cards because they knew the inventory and the invoice price. Now, the buyer knows the inventory and the price, but the dealer understands the financing so much better. The aha moment is realizing that the battleground has shifted from the price of the car to the terms of the loan.
That is huge. I feel like most people still walk in ready to fight over $500 on the sticker price while completely ignoring the interest rate that's going to cost them $2,000 over the life of the loan.
Exactly. And the guide points this out. It says essentially, stop fighting the last war. The 2026 landscape is all about the total cost of ownership, not just the sale price. That is a fundamental shift in mindset that every driver should know.
It really highlights how much we rely on these kinds of curated sources. Mm. We can't all be experts in macroeconomics or automotive finance. We need that trusted source to say, okay, pause. Here is the download for this year.
That's the role of the expert guide, to distill complexity.
Right.
To say, look, I know this is overwhelming. I know there are a million variables, but here are the three that actually matter.
Competence over expertise.
Right. You don't need to be a car dealer. You just need to be a competent buyer. And in a complex market, competence is a superpower.
So let's try to bring this all together. We've analyzed the 2026 Driver's Guide to Car Buying and its core section, What Every Driver Should Know. We've seen how the date stamps it with urgency. It's not evergreen advice. It's a specific survival kit for this specific economic moment.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen how car buying isolates the friction of the transaction, distinguishing it from just driving or owning. And we've seen how every driver should know creates a mandate for financial literacy.
We've essentially deconstructed the promise of the document. It promises relevance, it promises accessibility, and most importantly, it promises protection.
Protection from our own ignorance, mostly.
Which is usually the most dangerous kind.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to circle back to where we started, the migraine. The anxiety of walking onto that lot. Does this guide actually cure that? Or does it just give us more homework?
I think it cures the anxiety by giving you homework. Anxiety usually comes from the unknown. It comes from feeling like you're walking into a dark room where someone else knows where the furniture is and you're just going to stub your toe.
Yeah.
This guide turns the lights on. It doesn't move the furniture. The market is still the market, but at least now you can see where you're going.
And that's the key takeaway for me. The value of staying informed through updated guides like this isn't that it makes the process fun. It's probably never going to be fun to sign away that much money, but it makes the process manageable. It empowers you. And my final thought on the source is this. It reminds us that knowing what you should know is the first step. You have to admit you need the update before you can actually learn anything. It's so easy to coast on old knowledge, right? To just assume.
To assume, I bought a car in 2018, I know how this works, but this source screams, no, you don't.
You have to be willing to be the learner.
Always.
So here is the thought I want to leave you with today. We've talked about the specificity of 2026. We've talked about the shift in the market. If there is specific knowledge that every driver should know for 2026. What does that imply about how much the market has changed since the last time you bought a car? If the rules are different enough to require a brand new guide, how different is the game you're about to play?
And more importantly, are you playing by the old rules while the dealer is playing by the new ones?
That is the question. The gap between your experience and the current reality might be wider than you think. Something to think about before you sign on the dotted line. Thanks for diving in with us today.
Always a pleasure. Drive safe.
See you next time on The Deep Drive.